Your speaker today is Ken Willis. Why should God bless America? Almost at the end of every speech, our president says, God bless America. We know from Proverbs 14, verse 34, what Solomon said about 3,000 years ago is still so powerfully true. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. A little boy asked his mother one day, said, Mom, do you remember that priceless vase that's been on our family for generations? Well, this generation just broke it. Well, things that were cherished and held sacred in past generations are being broken by this generation. We indeed live in the best of times as well as the worst of times, as Charles Dickens introduced A Tale of Two Cities. With the advancements we have seen, they haven't ushered in a utopian society. They have made America a world leader, number one in violent crime, America number one in divorce, America number one in teenage pregnancy, America's number one in voluntary abortion, America's number one in illegal drug use, and number one in perhaps some other areas. So we want to ask and look at some of the current situations in our culture and ask, why should God bless America? Friend, the evidence of declining morals in America is staggering. Abortion legalized in 1972 with the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision has seen more little boys and girls murdered than the soldiers lost in World War I, World War II, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam conflict, Iraq, Desert Storm, put together. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 6, beginning with verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Well, we've seen millions of unborn little boys and girls murdered in this country, and there are many hands that are stained with innocent blood. In Leviticus 18, verse 21, we read that the nation Moloch, or the nation of the Canaanites, had a god they call Moloch, or Moloch, upon which they placed in its outstretched arms, with a fire burning in its belly of this old god, those little innocent boys and girls to offer as a living sacrifice. And some of God's own people fell into such transgressions that they worshiped the god Moloch. And so the evidence of declining morals in America is astounding. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse 31, a people without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. There are people who are practicing child abuse because they're unmerciful. And we can learn much about the depravity of a people by seeing how they treat their children. And you've seen the bumper sticker, perhaps, the most dangerous place in which a child may live is in a mother's womb because of the abortion laws and the abortions that take place. Another indication of declining morals in America is the homosexual gay rights movement. We read in Romans 1, verse 27, proponents notwithstanding, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet, which was good, or their reward. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That reading from Romans 1, verse 27 down through the end of the chapter. We live in a time when people have not only come out of the closets, they want to be accepted. Their depraved, immoral lifestyle. And books are being written and school laws being manipulated to try to teach the very innocent ones that such an alternate lifestyle is acceptable with God. It seems amazing that we must take an issue like homosexuality. The immorality ought to be axiomatic and prove that it's a scourge against society. And yet it is. In this era of tolerance, Christians are intolerably being called homophobic, religious bigots. And yet, in the name of tolerance, they would say you must accept us. And now laws are being written, such as in Canada, that preachers cannot even speak out against it without facing imprisonment. Official recognition has been given to this situation, sometimes called domestic partners by some of the most powerful industries. And the saddest of all, for churches now to begin ordaining homosexuals as maybe their bishops, to ordain lesbian women to be their preachers and homosexual men, where will it lead? Robert Williams said, just as I am a practical guide to being out, proud, and a Christian. But there are so many images of distorted love presented in our society today that some are now wanting to find it in the Bible, making such accusations that David and Jonathan were in a homosexual relationship, or that Ruth and Naomi were in a lesbian relationship, and that the Apostle Paul and even Jesus were involved in immoral relationships. What we see in our society today is shades of Sodom in the sexual promiscuity. But the Bible is still true when it says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. And it's still true in that same verse, Hebrews 13, verse 4, that adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. Our nation lacks the moral courage to teach abstinence. And yet, some have come to understand that that's the only safe sex, abstinence. An associate justice of the Supreme Court argued in favor of lowering the age of consent to 12 years of age. And how that pleased the NAMBLA organization, the men-boy perverted organization. In the past 20 years, billions of dollars have been spent on safe sex, yet teen pregnancy and disease and abortion continues to rise. And there's a simple answer, abstinence. Not only do we have these immoral problems that's weakening our nation, but the teaching of evolution, that man is just a creature of nature, a byproduct. It's no wonder that there's shootings in some schools when children have been taught that they're just a higher primate. The Bible speaks again in Romans 1, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice he said they changed the image of the incorruptible God into a thing of creature made by God. And instead of glorifying God and worshiping Him, they began to worship images. Their foolish heart was darkened. He's simply speaking about idolatry here. And idolatry comes in other forms besides just bowing down to an image made out of rock or stone or metal or wood. For Paul defines it in Colossians 3 that covetousness, which is idolatry. We live in a time when the philosophy is such that anything goes. If it feels good, do it. In light of all these moral shortcomings, we ask, why should God bless America? Why should He not rather judge this nation as He did Sodom? Thomas Jefferson said, "Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever. Indeed, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people." And as the psalmist said in Psalms 7, "He shall turn nations into hell that forget God." My friend, are you trying to do your part to make this a better nation? It can be a better nation when there are better people, when there are more that are trying to follow in the steps of Christ. Peter said Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Have you been walking in the steps of Christ that would lead you to believe that indeed He is the Christ, the Son of God? Walk in the steps of Christ and listen to His words that says, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. The words of Christ that are found in Matthew chapter 10, that "He that will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." And would you walk in the steps of Christ listening to His words that says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned," Mark 16, verse 16. And His words that are found in the latter part of Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." When you surrender to the Lord and give your life over to His, using your influence for good, you can make a contribution to this being a better nation. Or if as one who has erred away, who needs to repent and pray God for forgiveness and come back home to get in the harness again and be working for the Lord, do your part to make this a better nation. Until the next time I come your way, I bid you a very pleasant good afternoon. Your speaker has been Ken Willis.